Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button. You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Previously on Stories from the Grey Hill Free Company.
You realize it is a giant snail, except where the shell would normally... Well, there is a shell, but the shell is in the shape and dimensions of a wizard's tower, like a three-story high tower. Zia Mia pulls at your clothes.
What's up?
She waves. She reaches
hello.
Out to for like a hug.
Oh, I give her a hug. Where are you going? Oh, do you live in the snail?
She shakes her head.
It's been really nice to get to know you.
She nods. She puts like her hand over her heart and then goes in for another hug if you let her.
Oh, absolutely.
As soon as you start knocking as well, the snail comes to a complete halt.
Hello.
Hello there, Big D, was it?
How did you know my name? I was wondering if you could help my friend. I pull out the lantern. They're stuck. They're stuck in a little flame. Curiosity is something that I am oozing as an adventurer, but I'm not allowed to access outside of where I am right now. What if I look around the kitchen a bit and see what's good?
There does not appear to be any knives or forks or utensils in here. Perhaps somewhere else in the kitchen there is a utensil for this.
Yes, let's go around and have a look. I'm trying to think of a way to burst it without having it go everywhere.
It's like chopping it with, like, lighting it up with a hand axe.
You find a space that has lots of pots and outside of the pantry. You find a space that has lots of pots and pans, and is where all the plates and bowls go. Obviously, there's several big drawers. One of them has lots of like forks and knives, and another one has lots of cooking implements. Half of them look like torture devices, to be honest. They don't look like cooking implements. Then another quarter look vaguely like cooking implements, but you don't know what they do. And then the final quarter are just some basic ones that you would know by sight.
Can I see anything that, any sort of knives that are shorter and fatter and resemble more of a dagger?
Shifting through, you could find several, yeah.
Maybe just, I'd stand it up and sort of tap the top in. Can I tell that the metal on the top feels a bit different?
No, it's hard to tell where you're meant to crack into this thing.
Maybe if we just get in, we can figure out how to get it out second. I try stabbing it straight down into the what human me knows is a lid with a dagger.
Yep, you successfully crack into it. You can make like enough of a gap that you can start working the knife through. You open it up. Inside is a bit of very meaty water and then a rolled up piece of beef.
Unroll the beef.
It's like a like a loaf of beef, basically, that had been rolled up and then stuffed in.
Have I ever seen...
No.
Loaf, okay.
You have never seen this before.
It doesn't really smell like beef. What do you
think? It does not smell appealing, no.
Maybe this is food for the cow.
Oh, I see what you mean. But it's not a picture of a cow eating. It's a picture of a person eating.
Oh. Okay.
Hang on. Let us try another one. Saren goes away and comes back with, like, canned cherries. All right. We find out if this is a cherry food or if this is cherries.
Okay. I stab it.
The can of cherries flies into your face and smacks you in the nose. You take a point of damage.
Oh, I think I did it wrong.
Maybe I hold and you try again.
Okay, good idea.
Oh, wow, double 20s.
Oh, good, because that could have ended horrifically.
You crack into it. You make the perfect gap that you don't even need to peel the lid off. There's just enough of a hole that you can start pouring them out. You pour out a can's worth of cherries. Saren experimentally has one.
Ooh, that is a strange cherry, she says. Give it a taste.
Okay.
You know those like really red cherries that you get?
Like a big maraschino cherry or something.
Yeah. That is not the type of cherry you are used to, but it's like, I suppose it's a lot sweeter than you're used to.
Maybe you're meant to drink the juice?
You could also, you probably definitely had some of the juice with the cherry, like it was on the cherry. The juice is very sweet, not like water, it's more syrupy.
Maybe it goes funny when you, they've done something to this. I mean, they definitely did something to the beef, if that's beef.
I do not know, yeah, I do not know what they've done, but... There is a very sweet, yes. Is it like a syrup or something like that? Maybe this is what happens to a cherry if you leave it in a syrup for a long time or something. Maybe it's like a fermentation
then,
or something.
Then make a dish at the fit.
Is it alcoholic? She says. Is it fermented?
She starts sipping at the can.
How do you feel?
I don't feel. If it's alcohol, it's very, very weak. She says. She hands it to you.
I take a glug.
It's very sweet.
Oh, I like it. I have this tiniest experimental sip of the beef water.
It tastes, I guess, a little like a cold soup. Very watery cold soup.
Okay, that's not as good. I don't know if the water is... Maybe the water's just meant to keep it wet.
Maybe, yeah. I do not know why you would put it in the water.
We can try cooking the beef, and that way we replace the sandwiches. Go, I'll offer everyone some cherries. I'll try and cook the beef sauce, not so... I don't know what this is.
All right, well, everyone has a cherry. Most people are like, ooh, very sweet. Yeola seems to enjoy them and takes a bunch.
Beautiful. I start trying to fry up this log of beef.
While you're looking to figure that out, Yeola keeps... in the background, you keep hearing Chantel being like, stop it, stop it! As Yeola keeps being like, just one, just have another one. They're nice, they're nice.
You don't like them?
Too sweet for my taste. I don't have much of a sweet tooth, as it were.
Oh, come try the beef.
No, I'm good, thank you, she says.
It might not be beef. We don't know what it is. There's a picture of a cow on the front. It's the only reason I thought it.
No, there's no picture of a cow on the front. There's a picture of like a cooked bit of beef and then... it's on a plate. It's the beef. It looks so much nicer in the picture, but it's on a plate. And there's like a man in a suit and tie with like a jumper, and he's got a pipe in his mouth, and he's cutting it with a knife in front of a family. It's a very Norman. You would not know this, but so that Cass understands what Big T is seeing, it's a very Norman Rockwell type scene.
Perfect. I look at the can and think, yeah. I could do this for my family. I want to live this life. And I am inspired anew to keep frying up that beef.
Speaking of Norman Rockwell, Zamet, can you please roll me 2 encounter dice?
Why, yes, I can.
The first day you spend without any issues. The Badlands here are no-go zones, basically. So nothing's going to bother you out here. But
5.
And twice.
And 3.
The first day goes by uneventfully. Can I get you to roll it one more time?
An 11.
Mm-hmm.
And 3.
All right. So as the Badlands slowly give way to grasslands, the grasslands in turn slowly gives way to forest. There's a kind of a point, though, where Badlands, grasslands, and forest kind of intermingle. It's not a very thick forest, it's not a very lush grasslands, and it's not a very barren badlands, but it is all three of them intermingled and sparsed together. It is around this point that... odds or evens?
Evens.
During the night, one of you is on watch. Who would take, between you and Tavertine, who would take first watch, let's say?
Again, it would be a flip of the coin, really. I think I'd probably take second watch.
All right.
I've been running all day. Yeah.
Sure.
Things can never just be easy, huh?
No.
Not allowed.
They just really can't. Yeah.
Apparently they can be. It's just Adam picked no.
On your watch, Global,
Mm-hmm.
You notice as several shapes begin slinking in the darkness around you.
Okay. I will. Let's see. Quickly cast Speak with Animals.
Uh-huh.
It's where the forest meets the...
You're going to quickly cast it, not ritual?
Yeah. All right, so it's cool. Like it's where the forest meets the Badlands, yeah?
Yeah, the forest and Badlands touch. There's also, like, I would say that there are sparsely populated centers of trees every now and then, and then a lot of grasslands and a lot of Badlands in between as well.
I'll kind of, like, kick Tavertine awake, but as I cast it, be like, hello? Who's there?
Are you speaking as animal or are you speaking as in common?
I guess hello in common and then in animal. Who's there?
There's no response immediately. And then walking out of the darkness into the light of your fire, you see a haunched figure. If they were standing upright, they would be nearly as tall as Big T. But hunched over, they're probably only as tall as you. Nonetheless, they are an imposing figure. It's as if a hyena had managed to stand on its own two feet and dress itself in the morning. Glubble, you know that this creature is a gnoll. You don't know a lot about gnolls, but you do know that they are, with a goblin or a similar creature, with a goblinoid creature, you can... There is some measure of understanding. Goblins live in a very different society to humanoid creatures, but nonetheless, there is, like, they love, they live, they laugh, they bleed the same color as you.
Yeah.
At the end of a day, when you meet a goblin, you get the understanding, or you understand that there is, like, an idea there where they're just a dude doing what they're doing. And their society...
It's a goblin doing a goblin thing, and it's fine.
Yeah. Their society... often pits themselves against human society in the same way that human society often pits themselves against goblins. Gnolls are a completely different issue. Gnolls, you don't know exactly where gnolls come from or why they act this way, but gnolls burn and kill and consume. You cannot reason with a gnoll. A goblin, you can reason with. A goblin will turn tail and run if the fight looks bad. A gnoll will always fight to the death.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, and hopefully I've woken up Tavertine, so I know there's no reasoning here. So again, I'll just huck an acid arrow at it and prepare for the worst.
Oh, I would say, though, that this gnoll does not look... This gnoll is ready for a fight, but this gnoll is not moving in to engage.
Okay. Can they communicate at all?
Yeah, they speak, sometimes speak common, but they have their own language. Hang on, would this one speak common? No, this one does not speak common. When it approaches you, you see that it's got like a loincloth, like a basic loincloth, some hand wrappings, but the loincloth is held up by a belt made out of two arms that wrap together and the fingers interlock.
Incredible.
You do not think that this gnoll is going to be friendly, but this gnoll...
hasn't attacked.
When you start speaking, it also starts speaking in its own language, in gnoll.
I kind of run through, like, any language I speak. It's very quickly, like, blah, blah, blah. Like it's Draconic, Druidic, Elvish.
Tavertine, that you run through all the languages you know. It replies once again in gnoll, not really seeming to understand you. Tavertine steps up beside you and issues a low... It kind of scares you to hear that coming out of Tavertine.
A bird beak.
They exchange a few words. Tavertine turns to you and says, "They want food."
Joel Zammit here from either the podcast you're currently listening to or some other podcast like, let's say, I don't know, Baseless Speculation, rudely interrupting your good times to tell you about another podcast I do called Baseless Speculation. Do you often find yourself looking at a new Spider-Man trailer and thinking to yourself, "Oh, I wonder how else only are going to shit the bed on this one? Or perhaps you're a big fan of X-Men and will ponder how they would even show the Krakoan era of mutants on the silver screen. Or maybe there's some news that some fucking guy is going to play Mario in the upcoming film Mario about that plumber Mario and his brother Luigi. And you think to yourself, I wonder what they're going to do there. Why do these plumbers keep jumping on turtles? Us too. So we made a show about it where we baselessly speculate on upcoming films, TV shows, and more. So join me and my beautiful co-hosts, Jackson Bailey and Joel Dusha, who you might know from either this very podcast or another, on Baseless Speculation. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon are doing a podcast thing now. You can find us there if you'd like. Google? They have Google Podcasts now. Really, there's never been a better time to search for podcasts, especially ones called Baseless Speculation.
Right. I think I know what they want, but I...
You think to yourself for a moment, they? You only see one.
Yeah. Yes. I think I know what they want, but do we have any like other meat? Did we like maybe catch anything during like when we were making camp? And if not, I'll start either casting Goodberry.
If you cast good, well, that's going to be a spell. You don't know how they're going to react to you casting a spell.
Right. Tell them that I'm going to make them some food. It'll fill them up and then we can be on our way.
Tavitine issues that low. Again. They, the one gnoll that you can see, holds itself upright and then waits and looks expectantly at you.
I cast Goodberry.
All right.
Create 10, I believe it is.
Sure.
And I hand them all to him. And I hand them all to the gnoll.
If you approach with the berries outstretched in your palm, the gnoll does not take them.
I would give them to Tab, like, as in, or
oh, you give them to Tabatine?
Either give them to Tabatine or say to Tabatine, these are probably not what they want to be eating right now, but if they did consume them, they would be very sated. Can you tell them that?
He nods. He takes the berries and tries to hand the berries to the gnoll. The gnoll leans over, sniffs them, and when he sniffs them as well, he needs to come a little closer to come sniff them. And you see that his muzzle and his face is covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look fresh. It looks like he killed and ate maybe a week ago and just didn't care to clean himself up afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
Why would he?
He leans over, sniffs them, and then looking you dead in the eyes, Tavertine looks around at you and says, no, he doesn't say anything. He just looks back at you and shakes his head slowly.
Can I try and either help persuade them just to give them a try?
You can.
Hopefully, sure. We can give this gnoll the Goodberry shits.
You can do it. The Goodberry shits. You can do it with disadvantage because you don't speak the language. You're going through Tavertine.
Yeah.
The gnoll eats one, then eats a second one, then eats a third, then eats all 10. Tavertine looks back and says, "Make more."
I make another.
It eats all 10. While this is happening, you spot two more gnolls slink out from the darkness.
Okay.
Can you make more?
I can make 10, 20, 30. I can make 40. I can make 40 of these.
All right. Well, are you going to make... All right. So are you going to cast the spell again?
Yeah, I'll cast a spell again.
It eats another 10 more, says Tavertine.
Tell them how many do they need to eat, and basically
one,
like,
should have been enough. Glovel, you don't think they're going to be satiated by this. They're eating, but they're not getting full. Or they're full and they don't care.
Tell them, look, that's enough. Tell them that's enough. Tell them we've fed them and we don't want any trouble. Tell them that's all we have here. Tell them that.
Tavertine turns around to that lead one and in a low response. The gnoll stands up and now puts itself at its full height so that it's nearly as tall as Big T.
Mm-hmm.
And then with impossible speed, it lashes downwards, its maw opens, and it tries to wrap its mouth around Tavertine's head. Let's go to initiative. I was so ready to let you waste all of your fucking spells and then start the fight.
Yeah, I know.
Nearly.
Who would you like to act with?
The gnolls.
It is not Tavra time. The gnolls act first. The big one. Yeah, the big one's just going to try. It tries to grab and then crush Tavertine's shoulders and try to fit Tavertine's head in its mouth.
Mm-hmm.
One of the gnoll's mighty paws, you can see, is crumpling through Tavertine's shoulder. Tavertine makes no noise, but you definitely hear his collarbone pop.
Mm. That's not good.
And then head in mouth. Tavertine takes a further 6 points of damage as his head in mouth. The other two gnolls lash out at you. They are smaller physically, mm-hmm. and they don't have that cool belt. So they use spears rather than their hands and mouth. One of them, darting forwards, lashes out at you with its spear. You manage to dodge that blow.
But you dodge into the second blow.
The second spear stabs you deep in the thigh. You take 6 points of damage.
That's like, aha, can't hit me. You didn't even move. You just held that out, and I...
Global, it's your turn. And you obviously control Tavertine.
That feels unearned. The person that just speared me, mm-hmm. I'm going to cast Melf's Acid Arrow.
If you do that, you'll be casting it at disadvantage because you're in melee range.
All my spells, like, I would be casting at disadvantage, right?
At this specific guy. If you make a ranged attack in melee range, you do it at disadvantage.
Oh, I see. Yeah. All right, well, in that case, I produce flame, but that's also at a range because I huck it. Well, the person that didn't stab me, that I missed, I will huck.
In melee range of both of them.
Of both of them, you say?
The only one you're not in melee range is the lead one, who's fighting Tavertine.
All right, then. I guess I'll help out Tavertine.
Acid arrow at that one?
Yes.
You fire an acid arrow. Or you try to. That doesn't make sense.
If I change place.
Wild magic.
Yeah.
Roll twice. Oh no.
Roll twice.
Fuck.
On the table.
Roll twice on the wild magic table, baby.
Oh.
It is a evocation spell.
Yeah. This can only go well.
Oh, yeah. Dude. The target now has a phobia of fire. And
that's useful.
46. Yeah, that's not so bad. You'll find out that one later. All right.
So
as you reach out into the weave of magic to create mm-hmm. the acid arrow, there you can you see it like splay out in front of you. Mm-hmm. The many strands connecting you to your target. And you pull at several, you're with both hands, like a harpist playing the harp, you reach out and collect several of the strings to pluck them. When you do mm-hmm. that though, one of your fingers awkwardly just misses acid in the magical weave and dips into fire. Instead,
fire is much better.
You flick that string by accident and realize immediately your mistake. The spell was not designed to work like this, and you have messed up a balance. The spell, the string of fire between you and your target snaps, recoils backwards, and you feel a deep, awful, burning sensation in your heart. It slowly fades away, but... you can see it do the same thing to your target, intended target.
Oh, that's useful. And the other one, I have no idea what happened. I just think one thing happened. Great.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, well, Tavertine is going to what, how much can he do? I guess punch his way through, a flurry of blows. That's a monk thing, yeah? And if he can, Necrotic damage stuff he does. Yes, yes.
First attack, hit. Second attack, hit. Third attack, hit. Tavern Time, with his head in the gnoll's mouth, just starts with his palms. Boof, 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 good. Boof, boof, good. Boof, 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 boof. Starts just wailing into the gnoll's chest.
Yes, 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 yes. Good, 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 good. Oh, boy.
He does 36 points of damage to that gnoll.
Whoo.
That gnoll dies. That gnoll, he dead.
That's the best news.
He crushes through that gnoll's chest cavity and then keeps going. Because he can't see what's happening. He doesn't know to stop until the gnoll's stomach is touching his face inside the mouth. Then he realizes he can stop and takes a step back as the gnoll slumps backwards.
Best news. Best news.
Then it is the gnoll's turn again. Those two gnolls in melee range attack again.
Okay. They don't get distracted by maybe a fresh kill that they want to eat?
No, they do not. They're pretty intent on what they see as their meal. Both of them stab you. One of them deals 7 points of damage and fixes you in place as the other one stabs you and deals a further 3 points.
Why do they keep going for mostly the face?
What would you like to do? It's your turn.
Right. Well, I would like Tavatine to come up from behind and just flurry of blows on one of them.
All right. Would you like him to use his also Hand of Harm?
That seemed to be overkill that time. So let's just
hit. His first attack deals 6 points of damage, which that gnoll is still standing. Second attack hit deals a further 6 points of damage, still standing. Third attack hit, and that's 7 points of damage.
Yeah.
That gnoll is still standing.
Damn. Okay.
He does the same thing into the back of that gnoll's head. The gnoll just turns around and looks pissed.
And can I take a step back and not get stabbed?
No, unfortunately, you cannot.
Okay, then. And I will try. And I'll try an acid arrow, the one that is wounded. Don't use fire this time. Acid.
Acid. Point a finger, pulling at the weave with your other hand, trying to fire an acid arrow at the gnoll. As you do so, the gnoll grabs your finger and wrenches it upwards. Your acid arrow flies into the sky.
Oh, yeah, they don't like that.
The gnoll looks at you and licks its lips.
I don't like this one.
Their turn.
Hey.
One of them turns their attention to Tavertine and misses. The other one gets you again, though.
Once again.
Another 6 points of damage.
Going for the cheek.
You are still in melee range of both of them, but one of them is paying more attention to Tavertine now.
Okay. Well, I will try, and finally, come on, let's get this. Acid seems to be going badly. Let's try.
It's not going well.
Let's try my dagger. Fuck it.
Okay. Who do you want to stab?
Get my dagger out and just try and stab him in his face.
The wounded one?
The one that's at, the one's at me, basically.
They're both at you.
Oh, isn't one on me? Another one's at Tavatine? The one attacking me.
Okay, so the wounded one is the one that's dealing with Tavatine right now?
Yes.
That would also have been the one that wrenched your finger upwards. There's another one. So imagine it's a line. It's Tavatine, first gnoll facing each other, you looking both directions, and then a gnoll behind you facing you.
Okay, well, if the one that grabbed my hand, I'd probably go for him.
Okay. You stab him in the back as he faces Tavertine, dealing 5 points of damage. That takes him down.
Okay. Hey, that's very that's what useful.
You stab that gnoll in the back of the head, and he collapses.
As it collapses, just lock eyes of Tavertine. Do you mind?
Tavertine nods. He moves in. Would you like him to flurry of blows again?
Yes, I think he'll fly over me and flurry of blows.
He does a flying kickflip.
My god, he's so impressive.
Very cool.
Oh, that he fucks it. The flying wind kick hits you instead.
If you could just meme. Oh, and not me. That was my... Once again.
You take 4 points of damage as Tavertine accidentally kills you. Sorry, he grunts.
Oh, he's fine.
His second attack is a hit. His third attack is a miss. He deals a meager 5 points of damage.
Okay. To the gnoll, yeah?
To the gnoll, yes.
Okay, good, 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 good.
And it... Oh, did you... Yeah, you stabbed. All right. It's that gnoll's turn. That gnoll attacks Tavertine. Hits, dealing Tavertine 8 points of damage.
It's the first time he's gotten... No, the second time he's gotten...
No, he got head in mouth.
Head in mouth. Yes.
And that puts it back at your turn. It's just the one gnoll now.
Huh. Well, this time, can I take a step back still? Or
no,
is still...
you still can't.
Okay.
I mean, you can. Okay. It's just an attack of opportunity is all. Or yeah, you can disengage, which takes an action to use.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty garbage, actually. Okay. I will cure myself. I'm going to cure wounds.
Okay.
Yes, as a second level spell.
Would you like Tavertine to just make his do his stuff?
Tavertine, you do your thing. I just need to take a quick breather.
Tavertine misses on one blow, but then smacks the gnoll in the side of the head, spinning him around, dealing 7 points of damage.
Yeah, very nice.
It's the gnoll's turn. The gnoll stabs right back. Misses, though. It's your turn.
I will. Now, just grab my dagger and go in.
It worked last time, right?
Yeah, look, sometimes you rely too much on spells.
Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes all you need is a knife to the job.
Knife and some perseverance.
Exactly.
You stab at the gnoll's chest, you drive the dagger deep into the gnoll's chest, but realize you only sink it into their human leather armor.
I got their...
It's the gnoll's turn. It's going to attack you.
Tavertine, want to get in there? Quickly?
Did he? No, he didn't. Yeah, that's last turn. He misses twice. The
Tavertine, did you want to?
Never mind.
The gnoll stabs you in the belly. Six damage.
Thank you for not getting the phase. This one.
When you're this close, it starts snapping its jaw, trying to eat your nose.
I'll try to stab up. If I can.
You stab upwards, hitting, dealing 6 points of damage.
Cute.
And Tavertine also, obviously.
Tavertine, please, do your thing.
Tavertine is slowing down. You could see that shoulder injury has started really fucking him up. And every time he moves his right arm, you can hear Tavertine wince in pain.
Oh, it's not looking...
It's the gnoll's turn.
That's great. All right, the gnoll.
That's a critical hit, my friend.
It's like distracting, looking at Tavertine. Oh, your arm is not... Should bend that? Oh, wait.
Double damage, and you're going to need to make a constitution saving throw versus disease.
Wait, I'm good at the... Oh, I'm very bad at these. I suppose we'll find out just how bad I am next time on Stories of the Grey Hill Free Company. Sure, I like listening to D&D is for Nerds, the podcast I am currently listening to, or not, and maybe you should check it out on Spotify or whatever, but I hate using my stupid ears when I could instead be using my fabulous eyes. Well, thank my lucky stars, those fucking maniacs went and wrote a book adapting their Atticus campaign, the one with the airship and unhinged gnome. Just head to sanspantsradio.com/shop and click on the merchandise button. It was limited run and stocks are getting thin. So why get talked at when you could use your own inner dialogue and read an adventure? Once again, that's sanspantsradio.com/shop and grab your copy of the Atticus today.